there's going to be some exciting things coming up spiritually for church worldwide and for believers worldwide. And we as a church are part of that. But like I've said before, here is God, out of his goodness, will promote us. We will go into a promotion. We will go into a next season. We will go into his favor, and we will go further. The question is, are we going to be ready? When God promotes us, are we going to be promoted full, ready, prepared? Or are we going to be promoted empty? So as I preach today and as I bring a message, I've been reminded that there's three ways as receiving a message. Number one, the first way you receive a message is for you. I'm like, what is God telling me? And what do I need to hear? What is Jesus telling me specifically for me? The other context that you have to hear a message in is, what is Jesus asking for me as a family or as my friends or as my community? It's but small. So firstly, you receive the message singularly for yourself. Then you listen intently for what is God saying for your family or for your friend group. But most of what I want to say is for us as a body, as a church, as what is God saying to us as a church. Now, before I pray and start with today's message, we've got a strong prophetic guidance from the Lord that Father's House Kericha, there's some form of sacrifice journey that the Lord is taking us on. There will be some form of sacrifice. There will be some form of worship that other churches or other people might not understand. But there will be a moment where God will provide. And as God provided the ram for Abraham before he sacrificed Isaac, the outcome of that situation was multitudes. There's multitudes in Abraham for that. Our second prophetic word over our community is that Jesus needs a boat. Jesus needs a boat to teach those about the kingdom, because people will be so desperate for hearing from Jesus, to hear from God, that he will ask them, is there a boat around? And now, for me, the funny part is, in that story, there's a boat that is actually quite empty. I'm not saying we're empty, but those guys were fishing and they just couldn't get it. And then Jesus saw two boats, got in, and either Jesus gets into your boat or when the multitude come, they said, please come. There was a calling of say, listen, we need more help. But they were ready. And they were ready to be, they were there ready for Jesus to step into their boat and for them to be called and to be part of that which Jesus was doing in the outpour. I want to talk about vision this morning and our vision for Father's House Kericha and our vision for Father's House South Africa and in the context of a scripture. So let's just bow our heads and ask the Lord to bless his word. Jesus, the spoken word is heard but easily forgotten. And therefore, Lord, I pray for ready hearts, ready minds, ready ears. And as you say, those that have more will be given, and those that have not, even that which they have will be taken away. May you add to what we already had this morning. May our ears be ready to hear. May our hearts be ready to receive that which you have for us as a family. And I pray and ask that you will continue praying and moving in and through us so that your name will be honored and glorified in this space. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So before I start, who of you here believe or do, I'm not too sure which way we do it. Or who of us here are old enough that we've actually stopped doing it already? Who of us here has New Year's resolutions? Who here has New Year's resolutions? There's some New Year's, like who here don't have New Year's resolutions? So more of us don't have New Year's resolutions than do have New Year's resolutions. So I think if you say you don't have, or if you were undecided, maybe you've learned that New Year's resolutions are maybe fickle or they don't last very long. Now, a vision is like a New Year's resolution. A vision, if you hear it only once, or if you don't actually practice it, or if you don't actually put a plan into place for it to become a reality, a vision becomes like a New Year's resolution. It will just fade away within the first couple of weeks of January. And by the 16th, when your January starts happening and the December's paycheck has run out long ago, maybe then you would have forgotten about your healthy eating or your exercise, or I'm going to read a book a month this year, or I'm going to spend more time with Jesus. If you do not remind yourself daily, or if you do not put a plan into place, or if you do not have, even to a certain degree, accountability regarding your New Year's resolution, it won't happen. Same with a vision. We as a church can have a vision, we can have a direction, we can have a mission, but if we do not have any plans, if we do not repeat it often enough, and if we do not have some form of accountability, it will never happen. So, we as Fathers Our South Africa, we have a vision. Now, there's a bit more to this vision, but we're only going to focus on the first part of the vision. But for Fathers Our South Africa, we feel called to awaken the world to the gift of salvation by grace. Now, we need to know that. Because we're part of a bigger body, being part of a bigger organization, we need to know that this is where we're going. So let's say it all together. 1, 2, 3. To awaken the world to the gift of salvation by grace. Felt like it was only me and somebody there saying it. Say it a bit louder, David, so I can hear you. Let's say it again, guys. 1, 2, 3. To awaken the world to the gift of salvation by grace. Now, it can take some unpacking, and I'm not unpacking the vision, but that is who we are, or this is what we want to achieve as Father's House South Africa. We want to awaken the world to the gift of salvation by grace. But now as Father's House Kericha, we've discerned that how do we practically make that vision a reality? So what becomes, from our vision, what becomes our mission? And this morning I want to focus on our Father's House Kericha mission is to host the presence of Jesus and to obey Him. The best way that we as a church in Kericha can fulfill our vision of awakening the world to the gift of salvation is to host the presence of Jesus and obey Him. Now, I'm toying with this idea, wondering, and I've asked the question here, what comes first, the chicken or the egg? What comes first? Does Jesus' presence in our meetings and in our building, does that come first? And then people that need Jesus fill our building? Or do we start with people needing Jesus in the building? And because there's people in the building needing Jesus, Jesus actually arrives in his manifest presence. Now, I don't think you can, I don't think we can discern that in the joke about the chicken and the egg has gone on for years. And I don't think there needs to be a certain solution. I think if we pursue both, Jesus, because that's, what's the goal? Is the goal the people that need Jesus? What's the goal? Is the goal that we fill our space with 600 people? No, the goal is not people. The goal is Jesus. And if we don't make the goal Jesus, and if we make the goal people, the people won't come. The people won't be here because people need Jesus. So we've got no work, or we've got no, there's no need for us to try and reach try and reach people if our goal isn't primarily to first have Jesus present and for Jesus, by Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about hard and fast lines or rules, but if we fill this building missionally, if we go out and do missions and fill the building with people that need Jesus, Jesus will see, hey, there are people in this building that need Jesus. I need to arrive. I need to show up. Or if we're the type of community that presses into his presence, that Jesus is real and he's present and the miracles start happening, people will be coming. They won't come because there's good coffee, or they won't come because the seats are comfortable. They won't come because there's a guy that has good things to say. They'll come because Jesus is here and they will receive a breakthrough from Jesus. So we don't need to answer the question, what comes first, people that need Jesus or Jesus? We pursue both. And we don't pursue people, we pursue Jesus. What is our mission for Father's House Kericha? To host the presence of Jesus and obey him. So there's a person, his name is Kerry Newhoff. I'm not sure if it's kind of a pastor's thing. So pastors, listen to this guy. So Kerry Newhoff, he's been a pastor all his life. And he works with the Barner Group, where they actually do studies on people and churches and what God is busy doing in the world through church. And he's just recently made the statement that I want to add to our mission and our vision regarding people or Jesus. And he says, attracting other Christians doesn't fulfill your mission. So attracting Christians into the building doesn't fulfill our mission. Reaching people for Christ fulfills your mission. So it's got no help that we are here Sunday after Sunday and we just attract other Christians. I'm like, hi, have you guys gone to Father's House? The worship is great. The coffee is great. The seats are comfortable. So more Christians come. That's not our mission. Our mission isn't to reach more Christians. Attracting other Christians doesn't fulfill our mission. Reaching people for Christ fulfills our mission. And I want us to, when we go into our year and as a church and as a body and as a community, I want us to realize that there's a difference between filling the seats with Christians or reaching people for Christ. And something, now that I can't tell my wife anything because I have a snore, now I just have to listen to her like always. And she said, our purpose as a church, or our mission as a church, should never be people. It should be Jesus. Because if we want to just reach people to fulfill a mission, people feel like they're a project. People feel like, why are you trying to draw me to your space? They feel like you want to sell them something. But when you offer people Christ and the good news of Jesus, you will attract people for Christ. You will reach people for Christ and you will fulfill your mission. So again, our mission is Jesus, but we need to share the good news and the freedom and the peace that lies in Jesus. So attracting other Christians doesn't fulfill your mission. Reaching people for Christ fulfills your mission. The bottom line, these days you're either growing or declining as a church. Stable isn't happening much anymore in a rapidly changing culture. And I think he's an American he does American research, but worldwide research. And I think the American culture is changing very faster than the South African culture. But we as South Africa, we're not very far behind because I don't know if it's foreign to you guys yet, but apparently a friend of mine, preacher friend from Pretoria, we spent some time over Christmas, and he says he's already contending with parents being confronted with their schools in Pretoria with children. Now, we're talking about children, young children, identifying as animals. Now, I thought that was an American problem. Now, the South African children are already identifying as animals. So, in my uncertainty and awkwardness, so whenever I face an awkward situation, don't know what to do, I try and be funny, but I hardly am funny. So, he says that he's dealing with, as a pastor friend, dealing with parents whose children are sitting next to a child that identifies as a wolf. And I'm like, oh, that doesn't sound too strange. I'm the wolf in our family. You see, my jokes don't. I have two children. We play Ospiel Wolf and Farkis. I'm the wolf, they're the Farkis. For those that don't know, there's a story we tell our children of three little pigs and a wolf. So yeah, he didn't find it funny either. So our culture is changing rapidly. And if we are trying to fill our seats with Christians, we are going to fall behind. If we are going to try and reach people for Christ, we will be fulfilling our mission and our vision. So I was going to preach this morning without using a scripture. And then my wife again looked at me like this and says, Anthony, you have a snore. You cannot preach without a scripture. So I thought John 11, 1 to 3 was quite appropriate. So if you've got a Bible or a device, you're welcome to turn there. I love using the Passion Translation. It just helps me preach. So in John 11, in the village of Bethany, there was a man named Lazarus and his sisters Mary and Martha. Mary was the one who would anoint Jesus' feet with costly perfume and dry his feet with her long hair. You can just hold there. Now, if you know your scriptures, if you know anything about Jesus, the town, the village of Bethany, was just outside Jerusalem. Now, Jesus and his disciples spent a lot of time in Galilee, around the lake and on the lake. Is Jesus in your boat? Does he need a miracle to get into your boat? But when Jesus was in Jerusalem, the city of Jerusalem, now remember, Jerusalem is like a spiritual, a religious gathering hotspot. So it's very busy. So Jesus chose not to spend too much overnight in Jerusalem. He would walk the 2 kilometers or the 2 hours or the 20-minute walk, I'm not too sure how far, down to the village of Bethany. And at Bethany, he had friends. And those friends, Mary, Martha, and Lazarus. Now, some of the most intimate moments with Jesus happens in Bethany, happens in this little town that Jesus felt welcome, where Jesus felt, hey, here is where I find my peace. To such a degree, he was so close with those people that Mary anointed Jesus' feet with costly perfume and dried his feet with her long hair. Now, to those of us that have access to long hair and showers and it's easy to clean your hair, even then, you'd think twice about wiping somebody's feet with your hair. Those of us that have more challenging hair and cannot wash it every day, you'd even think three times. I'm like, I spent 300 rand on this. I'm not going to wipe somebody's feet with it. But wiping somebody's feet with your hair just speaks about the intimacy that happens there. Most of us, when we hear Mary and Martha, are reminded about the sandwiches. I don't know if they were making sandwiches, but there was an incident where Jesus was in the house and Martha said, Jesus, tell Mary to come in, help me in the kitchen. And what did Jesus say? Martha, Mary has chosen the better. Is sandwiches not important? Sandwiches are important. Like we spoke last year, if we want to grow church, we need to gather daily, we need to praise, take communion, and have sandwiches, eat together. So Martha understood something about hospitality. Martha understood something about hosting Jesus. But Mary sat at Jesus' feet, and Jesus was not taking on the priority between sandwiches and presence. Jesus was talking about the priority of teaching women at a space as intimate as sitting at the feet of Jesus. Because culturally, at that point, women were not allowed to be taught. And when you sat at the feet of a teacher, you were going against culture, saying, irrespective of what culture is saying, I'm going to sit at the feet of a teacher and I'm going to be taught. And I'm going to receive something which most other women will not receive in that time. And it's out of that teaching, it's about out of that intimacy with Jesus that Mary actually anoints Jesus' feet and wipes it with her hair. In the village of Bethany, there was a man named Lazarus and his sisters, Mary and Martha. Mary was the one who would anoint Jesus' feet with costly perfume and dry his feet with her long hair. One day, Lazarus became very sick to the point of death. So his sisters sent a message to Jesus. Lord, our brother Lazarus, the one you love, is very sick. Please come. Please come. Now, I think the shortest prayer a person can ever pray is help. If you can just get the words help out of your over your mouth, you can just say help. I think the second shortest prayer you can pray is please come. Please come. And I think there's something about that the sisters, Mara and Martha and Mary, understood about Jesus' presence, that they knew Lazarus is sick unto death and we need to send for Jesus. And they said, please come. Some of us have been praying lengthy prayers. Some of us are not praying at all. I think it's time, 2024, to start praying again. And if you can get nothing out of your mouth except help, or even just out of your heart, you don't even have to say the word, please come. May your situation not be greater than your ability to pray the most simplest of prayers, saying, Jesus, please come. Please come. Because Martha and Mary were facing a situation. I'm not too sure what they tried to do. Maybe it was for us as the reader to understand that Lazarus and Jesus had a very specific bond, a very a great friendship, because they said, Lord, our brother Jesus, the one you love. I'm like, when you love somebody, you know you love them. You don't have to be reminded that you love them. And if they are facing an impossible situation, all you need to hear is, please come. And Martha and Mary understood something about the presence of Jesus that says, Jesus, if you come, and I'm not going to go through the whole story, but later on in the story, Martha actually said, Jesus, if you were here, our brother would have lived. So Martha and Mary understand something about Jesus' presence. Martha and Mary understand something about hosting Jesus. Mary understood being at Jesus' feet. Martha understood being hospitable, making the sandwiches. And between hosting Jesus, being intimate with Jesus, having Jesus in their home, with Lazarus, their brother, with Jesus and them, Jesus and Lazarus having a very close relationship, to such a point that Martha and Mary said, the one you love, they knew, please come. And some of us here are in two spaces right now. Now we'll get to something. Jesus says something just after this, and that'll be our end. But some of us here are facing a year ahead. And we need to call Jesus' presence into our midst. We need to become friends with Jesus. Jesus needs to love us as a friend because we spend time with him. Some of us need to be hospitable. Some of us need to sit at the feet of Jesus. That when we are facing an impossible situation, we can pray a very short prayer. Please come. But Martha, Mary, and Lazarus knew something about Jesus' presence, that something as simple as please come. It was the simple form of saying, Jesus, we are in a situation that only your presence can sort out. So John Bevere is a long-standing pastor, and he's written some very good books, and he has some sharp understanding of Christ. And John says, we will only find God's manifest presence in an atmosphere where he is held with the utmost respect. We will only find God's manifest presence in an atmosphere where he's held with utmost respect. Maybe the solution, maybe the breakthrough you're contending for right now in your family or in your own life or us in this space as a church is holding the presence of Jesus with utmost respect. Doubting Jesus or doubting the timeline or doubting the type of blessing isn't respect. Some of us have a very unclear but certain idea how we want our lives to look like, but it doesn't look like this. Excuse me. Some of us rather look at our devices of how we want our lives to look like rather than looking at the Word of God. And some of us are looking at our friends or the atmosphere or the world around us to say, but Jesus, I want that. God, I want that. I need that. And we're not looking at what Jesus wants for us. And we're disrespecting His presence in that moment when we are telling Jesus, Jesus, you know, the way you said my life should look like, I'm not sure about that. Are you sure it's not supposed to look like those guys with the chains and the boats and the whatever nots? We will only find God's manifest presence in an atmosphere where He is held with the utmost respect. Our breakthrough, our vision, our mission is locked up in holding Jesus with the utmost respect. And if you want to see a shift in your life, if you want to see a shift in your family, if we want to see a shift in this community, in this church, in this town, in this city, we will only find God's manifest presence in the atmosphere where He is held with the utmost respect. So Martha and Mary is facing an impossible situation. Their brother Lazarus, sick to the point of death. Some of us are facing impossible situations to the point of death. Martha and Mary knew something about Jesus that they sent for Him, that they said, please come. Jesus receives the message. We know the story. Jesus takes 2 more days before He gets there. By the time He gets there, Lazarus is already in the tomb. It's our first, well, it's not our first, but Jesus then resurrects Lazarus. But there's that miracle that takes place. But before Jesus actually ends up going to Bethany, He says to His disciples, the girl said we should come. And the disciples said, whoa, we can't go. They wanted to kill us the last time we were there. Is there, in hosting the presence of Jesus, is there attitudes, is there thought patterns, is there something hostile against Jesus? Jesus has friends in Bethany. They send Him a message. He tells His disciples, let's go. His disciples are like, whoa, 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 whoa. The last time we were there, they tried to kill us. Is there things in our life that's trying to kill the presence of Jesus? Are we doing something or are we not doing something? Are we disrespecting Jesus? Is the disrespect we have for the presence of Jesus, is that keeping Him from coming to us? Not Jesus. Jesus says, let's go. But there's something interesting that Jesus says just before He leaves to Bethany. And I'm going to end with this. The girl sent Him a message. The disciples said, we shouldn't go. Jesus replied, are there not 12 hours of daylight in every day? You can go through a day without the fear of stumbling when you walk in the One who gives light to the world. Now, Jesus said that very prophetically. If you read the rest of the context, the disciples were like, sorry, don't understand that. But we understand that we can go through a day without fear of stumbling. Jesus says it's actually possible to go through a day without fear. It's actually possible to live a life in such a way that we can go through a day without fear. Who here would like to go through a day without fear? Here we go. John, you can join me. To go a day without fear. There's a win. There's a win. How is it possible for us to go through a day without fear? Win. Win. When you walk in the one who gives light to the world. When you walk in the one who gives light to the world. I didn't prepare this, but the best I can think right now is those of you that can see my shoes, they're not the greatest, but I've had these shoes for quite some time now. These were some of my first pastor shoes I've had. Before I became a pastor, I never had white shoes. Don't know what it is with pastors and white shoes. These were my first white shoes. Now, if I did not have my white pastor shoes on and I was just walking in my socks, what would my mom tell me? Drag your goes out. Why doesn't your mom want you to walk on your socks? Now that I buy my own socks, I realize, number one, they get dirty. And you got to wash those dirty socks. Number two, if you walk around on your socks, they wear out much quicker. Some of us are walking around in our socks and our life is wearing out because we are not walking in our shoes. We are not walking in the one who gives light to the world. We've kept Jesus at some form of religious distance. We've been somehow afraid of his presence because God forbid we might just fall over. God forbid we might just speak in a tongue. God forbid that we might just laugh out loud. We've been keeping Jesus at some form of religious distance. We've not walked in the shoes. We've not walked in the one who gives light to the world. Some of us are walking around in our socks. You can't go very far in your socks. But when you've got your shoes on, you can go far. Some of our lives have come to some form of uncomfortable space because we don't have our shoes on, because we are not walking in the one who gives light to the world. And Father Saskaricha, this is my point I want to make today, is that if you are keeping Jesus at some form of religious distance, if you're not in Christ, your life will become dirty, your socks will get wet, there will be abrasiveness, your feet might get cold if you're not in the one who gives light to the world. There will be fear. There will be stumbling. But you will stumble when the light is not in you, for you'll be walking in the dark. Then Jesus added, Lazarus, our friend, has just fallen asleep. It's time that I go and awaken him. Awaken him. And I chose that awaken him because we need to awaken the world to the gift of salvation by grace. Please stand with me. If you're not in Christ, your life will have holes in. If you are not in Christ, your mom's not going to be very happy with you. If you're not in Christ, you are going to stumble. If you are not in Christ, there will be fear. But Jesus says, in me, because I am the light. I am. And later on in Lazarus, in the story of Lazarus, Mary, when Mary says, Jesus, if you were here, and Jesus says, I am here, declaring his godliness, declaring his power. Some of us need to respect Jesus' presence more, because only in the presence of Jesus there will be breakthrough. Only in the presence of Jesus we can fulfill our vision and our mission. And we need to start walking in Christ, in the light. And if we're walking in the light, no more fear, no more stumbling. And there will be a miracle because of what Jesus has done in and through us. And he will, to such a degree, even raise the dead. So if there's something in your life that has died, that has been dead for 4 days, 4 weeks, 4 years, for what? Call for Jesus. Please come. Let's bow our heads. We as a church, we as a family, we as an individual, we need to hold Jesus at the utmost respect. We need to be intimate with Jesus like Martha and Mary. We need to call him, please come. Even through difficult, dangerous situations, in dangerous places, we can still go and say, there's light. We know the one that's light. Please come. And as we walk in Jesus daily, not at a distance, not outside of him, but in him, there'll be no fear. And there'll be no stumbling. Some of us still stumble because we are not in Christ. Some of us still fear because we are not in Christ. Because you have fear, no shame. If you have fear, get in Christ. Let's pray that. All of us here fear something. But you know what I fear the most? I fear God. I fear putting something else higher than Jesus. Putting my situation, putting my shortcoming, putting my disappointment higher than Jesus. Telling Jesus, if you were here, Jesus will say, I'm here. I am here. Let's walk in Jesus. Let's walk for Jesus. Let's get into the shoes of Jesus and let's walk over these stumbling blocks and over these fears. And I want to pray right now that whatever is keeping us back, whatever is allowing us to stumble, whatever is maybe confronting us, that in Jesus we will be greater and overcoming, and we will not fear these things because Jesus is greater than these things. And we will lay these things at the feet of Jesus. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you that you are guiding us to, to hold you with utmost respect. Jesus, thank you that you're learning us to be intimate with you, to host your presence, to sit at your feet, to love you, to allow you to love us as a friend does. Jesus, may we not be afraid of this assignment before us. May we be in Jesus as we take on this new year of awakening the world to the gift of salvation, to hosting your presence and obeying you. But Jesus, those of us that need a specific touch this morning from a miracle working Jesus, I just pray for breakthrough in every situation right now. I pray for fear to go in Jesus' name. I pray for stumbling blocks to go in Jesus' name. And we pray for the peace. We pray for the presence. And we pray for the favor of the Father and the manifest presence of Jesus Christ.